Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome to Burden and Blessing Podcast. My name is Pastor Neil Radical, and here with me today is Pastor Mark Tiefel, discussing the really important topic of the many shootings that have been going on in our nation more recently and in the past few years. How are you doing today, Mark?
Doing well, Neil. Good to visit with you on this topic.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this. I know you said you started to write an article on this and have been thinking about it quite a bit lately, so I'd kind of like to just pick your brain a little bit because it's something that's been on my mind as well, and obviously we've been having prayers in our congregations for those families and those individuals that have been involved and victims of these horrible crimes. So I guess where do you want to start out with? Do you want to talk about the nation as a whole? How are we getting to this point that we're hearing about shootings, another one again this morning, so frequently? What do you think the symptom is, or why is this such a – what's the problems here? What's going on?
Well, I think there's several layers to it. Obviously, it's on the minds of a lot of people. It's a hot topic in our nation. I know some people are probably sick of hearing about it. It's a very politicized topic. But we kind of discussed this ahead of time together that, you know, although there are very divergent sides on this topic, as there are with any political topic, there are also spiritual elements to this issue. And so that's where we as pastors and we as individuals who do this podcast, that's where you want to address it from, is some of those spiritual elements. And I think that the sad thing that I witness is that it seems like most of the discussion that's going on in our nation right now around this topic of gun violence or protecting our kids seems to be ignoring the spiritual side of the issue. It seems to really come down to either, you know, gun rights versus, protecting how we protect our students in our schools and things like that. Do we limit gun rights or do we stand for Second Amendment rights? It seems like that's where the, you know, 99% of the discussion goes.
It's funny. It struck me when you said gun violence that I think that's exactly what you just said. There's so much focus on the gun and not the violence. And why is the violence happening? I think, you know, you hear in the media the investigation of the individual. Well, they had these problems, the psychological problems of the background, rough childhood. And so it's almost like they're kind of giving a excuse for why it took place rather than – and then the follow-up was, well, he shouldn't have been allowed to buy a gun and the gun's a problem, or get rid of all the guns. It seems like that's kind of what the focus has been on, not of, like you said, the spiritual problems that result in someone doing something like that.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I think that both sides, when it comes to the political argument, both sides are speaking half-truths is how I kind of understand them. That on the one side, should somebody who's a kid basically be able to get an assault rifle so easily? No, I don't think so either. Should Right. we try to limit that? I think there can be a benefit to limiting that. But is that going to stop this kind of stuff from happening? I think if somebody's determined to carry out something like this, they're going to find the means to do it.
We've had similar things with car violence, bomb violence, you know, whatever it might be. You know, it's different forms of the same problem, the violence.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I'm not an expert on guns, but I've had other people who know more about guns tell me that there are regular hunting rifles that aren't assault rifles that can shoot just as many rounds off as an AR-15 or whatever. I don't personally know that, but, you know, maybe that's the case as well. But then the other side says, well, we have this right to bear arms. We have this right. You shouldn't limit our rights. And we need to be arming our teachers in schools. And we need to have more guns to combat the problem. And I think that's another half-truth where I don't think that completely solves the issue either. I'm not sure if I want to live in a society that has to have armed teachers in our classrooms or bulletproof windows. You know, do we have to get to that point just to uphold our freedom to bear arms? You know, I think if there's a way we can limit some gun rights in our nation, I think that'll help. But again, that's part of the that's just part of the solution as well. I think if we really want to get to the core of what causes this, we have to get to the underlying factors about what gets a person to the point mentally, spiritually, where they want to take a gun into a school and attack innocent children. That's really where we need to get to. And I think that's where you hit the spiritual element. Political argument of political legislation is not going to solve that kind of a problem.
So address that spiritual element too. What do you think the nation needs to do as far as how can the nation do that when it comes to this investigating the spiritual element?
Well, that's the thing is I don't think it can be done by the nation specifically. I think it has to be done by God's word. But I think that the way in which our country treats the word of God today is indicative of where we've arrived in this situation. You know, I look at our schools in particular. For the last, you know, 20, 30 years, probably, you could say that our schools have actively been trying to get God out of the discussion. Now, I'm not saying by that I want our public schools or our government to be the ones responsible for teaching people about God. I know that that's the church's realm. I know that the separation of church and state is a healthy thing. But it's another side of it when the schools and the government so actively goes after Christianity and the Christian teachings to try to eradicate them from all areas of society. We see that increasing more. And I think when you any type of culture you deal with, the more they actively try to get rid of God, the more you're going to see inhuman behavior like this happen. You can look at history as examples. You know, we study the Old Testament regularly, where God brings down judgment upon nations that are more than just Israel or Judah, nations that were not his people, but lessons they could learn by trying to get rid of the true God, because it's going to affect the behavior of the people. It's going to affect the ethics and the morality. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there for our own country.
I think the Ninevites would be a good example of that. Why did Jonah not want to go to them? It says there clearly in the first part of Jonah that they were the Ninevites in the land of Assyria. They were a murderous people. They were killing each other all the time. And Jonah did not think them worthy of the gospel. I think that's an important aspect that bothers me with the whole media of the situations. I want to hear what your thoughts are on this. I had one person say to me recently, why does the media continue to spotlight all these individuals and kind of not, obviously they're not glorifying what they're doing, but they're definitely giving them a spotlight and fame. They're infamous in the sense of the horrible deeds that they've done. What are your thoughts on that kind of a statement or comment?
Yeah, I don't know what the proper balance is between simply reporting the news and then, you know, dealing with it so much that you end up giving this person more press than they really should have. And I think there is evidence that some of these actions happen because people are looking for attention. They're looking for it to get on the headlines, whether it's positive or negative. And so I think there's a responsibility there with the media. But I mean, the media in our country is so lopsided either way. You can basically go wherever you can go, conservative or liberal, and you can find a news outlet that'll tell you kind of what you want to hear, right, and that'll report on the kind of incidents that you want to hear about. And I think that's where it takes the mature individual to be aware of that and not buy too much into the way the media portrays these things. But that can be part of it as well, that maybe we shouldn't be giving these individuals a platform in the way that we do. I don't know how you accomplish that and still report what's going on at the same time.
Maybe one thought would be, don't ever give the name of the shooter, you know, just say a shooter, the families suffer, pray for the families. And this is where it look, was located, you know, but you know,
but is one news outlet going to abide by that, and then the other
not.
In order to, yeah, it's
but
a business
I,
too. That's
yeah,
the thing.
I agree with you about the attention though, because I think we could probably start to conclude our discussion on that word attention, because it goes back to your initial point too. I think the attention that the individuals seek, certainly the victims, you know, the schools, you know, the workplaces, all the places that these violent crimes, gun crimes are happening. You know, we've had the car violence with people driving down the sidewalk. Those have happened in our nation too, or driving into a building. So it's not just the gun violence. But I think if we can think about what kind of attention do we need to give the individual? Obviously, the families need attention. But what about the individual? The individuals that are thinking about doing these things or behaving these ways, what kind of attention would you say that we need to give them before they're given this attention from the media after they've committed this horrible crime?
Yeah, I think that's the key there, is how do we reach the individual who's having these issues before they're willing to act out on them? How can we help the person who's struggling with it rather than just protecting the innocent as well? And to me, there's three areas of our culture. When I think about how we've tried to chase God away almost, I think there's three areas where that happens. First of all, it's the value of life. I think our culture in America has devalued the sanctity of life. You look at abortion, you look at euthanasia, even something as simple as materialism, it devalues what is important in life. I think that's something where we can go back and say, let's change some of the things we believe. Let's change some of the way we do things and better value what God has given us. I think the second one is relationships and family. You know, we look at our nation, we have eroded what God has said about marriage. You look at take the young man who did the shooting just recently at the school. He came from a broken family. His both of his parents died, and he was struggling in that way. He's living in a culture that really doesn't teach anymore about the importance of marriage. And, you know, that's going to erode the stability of the family there. And I think the third one that I come to is the teaching of evolution. And I think that especially hits home in our schools. I've never understood how a culture that glorifies evolution can then condemn gun violence or any other type of violence against the innocent. If you really believe evolution, there is no morality there to say that what he did was wrong. It's simply the strong exerting influence over the weak. There's no better example of that than a school shooting. You don't get any clearer. The strong exerting influence over the weak. That's a basic principle of evolution. Should we really be surprised that when we're indoctrinating our kids with this idea that they're just a highly evolved animal and there's really nothing more to life than existence, and life itself is based on survival of the fittest and the strong conquering the weak? Should we really be surprised when a kid resorts to violence to try to get his way? I think those are the kind of questions that nobody is trying to ask right now in our country. Curbing guns or standing up for my Second Amendment rights or arming teachers in our schools is not going to solve that problem.
Or trying to catch a person's mentality before something happens like this, you know, whether the person's sane or insane. I mean, it's appropriate to watch for those kinds of things, but at the same point in time, how much can you do? You're gonna end up having to have total government oversight. You know, they're gonna have to be watching everywhere. They're gonna have to be in every aspect of your life, even more than they already are.
And I think that's where the issue becomes more than just a political issue. We're talking about something that affects our spirituality here. We're talking about how do we change someone's emotions? How do we change the situation of a person's heart? And I think that's where we use the word of God. That's where we tell people what the truth is, that you were created in God's image, that the reason it's wrong to do this is not just because the society says so. It's because God created it as something that is wrong. You know, God ordained it as something that was against what is right and what is true.
Let me play the antagonistic here. So then someone says, so you're telling me you think the word of God is going to change our nation so that you think shootings are going to stop if we start applying the word of God more?
No, I don't think that's the applying the word of God to these situations, as we know, is never going to solve anything bad from happening. We know that there's always going to be bad things that happen, no matter how Christianized the nation is going to be. What I'm saying is that the word of God is able to affect a person's heart and is able to help people who are struggling with this kind of thing to know that you were created by God. You're not just an animal. To know that there's a sanctity of life that exists because God created it that way, not just because the government says so. To know that God has redeemed you and that God is able to change your heart and that God is able to help you lead a pure life, that's going to help people out. But if we're pushing God away from our culture, why should we be surprised if we see the effects of that? And I think that the increase of violence and frankly, the increase of our inability to understand this violence shows that we've been pushing God out for some time now. And until we're honest about that, we're really not – I don't think we're going to find answers that we want to find.
I think you're right. I think you struck a chord with me there with if we're pushing God away, we should expect godless behavior. Godless behavior. In other words, no moral law, no righteousness among people where they've pushed all holiness and purity, which God teaches us through his word. And you mentioned, you know, about our Savior and all that he tells us that we are in his eyes. I think you totally hit the nail on the head there, Mark. You
know? And again, understand here, we're not trying to say that we think that the United States should mandate Christianity as the government religion.
Right,
I'm not
right,
saying that. What right. I'm saying is, let's not be persecuting Christians so much. Let's not be allowing people to take them to court and sue them for expressing their faith in public. Let's not be trying to eradicate God from our public schools. If we want to teach evolution, how about we at least say that creation is another option that exists? At least tell the kids that. I mean, you're not even allowed to talk about creation.
Right.
In the public school system, it's not just we're not saying that the government has to make Christianity the sole religion. We understand we live in a culture of many religions, and that part of the laws of our nation is allowing religious freedom. We totally understand that, but let's stop the active persecution against the Christian faith that is currently going on, and let's stop the things that we know really aren't right, like. You know, advocating that people do whatever they want with marriage, you know, telling young people to just have sex whenever they want and not think about marriage as a good thing, telling people just to choose and do and live however they want. What we're starting to realize is when you have that philosophy in life, do what you want, it's gonna end up with bad results because people can cut through the cheap morality where, oh, well, I say this is right, but this isn't right. You got to be able to appeal to a higher law than just your own opinion.
Right.
What's to say that if we are all free to do what we want, what's to say that the shooter at the school did what was wrong? Who's to say that that was wrong? If it's just up to every person to decide for themselves, you need to be able to appeal to a higher standard. And what we're doing in our nation is we're just picking and choosing what we want to say is right and wrong. Who's to say 20 years from now, if we continue on that same path, we're going to start allowing some of the things that today we might say are wrong. You know, society changes. If you look back 30, 40 years ago, some of the things that we promote in our society today were deemed as unacceptable back then.
So those
are the tough questions that eventually we need to, in my opinion, try to answer. And as a Christian, I answer that from the Word of God, and I'm willing and ready to show anybody why I think that's the best approach to answering that question. And so I think that's where we need to get to.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're striking at the root of the problem. It's the root of the problem is sin. Sin brings violence. Sin brings the wrath of God. And our nation and all people, every person, Christian or non-Christian, needs to hear about the love of God that points us to a proper love that doesn't tolerate wickedness and doesn't tolerate this kind of violence, but also continues to show that hey, there's a better way. There's a better way that God shows us here. I think I agree with you completely that, you know, that our nation wants us to tolerate everything, but it doesn't want to tolerate Christianity, things that we want to teach the children in the school on both sides, you know, like you just said. I think you're absolutely right that when it comes to trying to address this issue of all the violence in our nation, we need to start at the heart of the problem. That's the heart of sin.
I think that's why we need, in order to do that, we need Christians to stand up and let their light shine, to be a witness of God's word. If you're a Christian, you can have beliefs about gun laws on either side. I personally think it'd be good. It'd be okay. I think it'd be wise if we made stricter limitations on being able to get a gun. I think that's fine. I also think it's okay, though, to continue allowing people to have their freedom to own a firearm. But if, as Christians, if those are the only two sides of the issue we're going to address and witness to, we're missing the point. You know, when we give our witness on this issue, it needs to ultimately come back to the Word of God for us. And we need to start getting to some of these spiritual, moral sides that are contributing to this issue. Because if Christians aren't going to do it, who's going to? Right. And that's really, to me, kind of the saddest thing is you see just the arguments back and forth among Christians that only center on the surface of the topic, on these peripheral issues of whether or not you should have a right to own a gun. I think both sides are at fault in that regard. And if we really care about fixing it, then as a Christian, that starts and ends with God. And when we need to witness to what he has told us.
I thought it would be good and fitting. I really have appreciated this discussion. I thought it would be fitting for me to read a section from Psalm 33, just selected verses. I think you'll find it as a good summary of all the things you just said so well, Mark. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord, that's the Lord the God, he is the Jehovah God, looks down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. And let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. I think our nation needs to continue to hope in the Lord as we look to his comfort, his compassion, and his wisdom in handling not just the weapons of our world and our nation, but the spiritual weapons which the devil continues to try to use against us, the hopelessness that we have without a God in our life and without our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks for your time today, yep. Mark. I appreciate it.
I just want to say I think, that's a perfect section of Scripture that I think really is exactly what we were talking about this morning and something that we should all think about as Christians.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening in. We hope that you found this discussion helpful and maybe made you think of some other things. Please comment in the comment section below on our Burden Blessing site if you have any further thoughts, and subscribe or share any posts you think might help someone else in navigating these challenging questions of life. Thanks again for joining us today, and the Lord be with you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.